welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
This evening, just for the ushers' sake, we're going to do the offering a bit different. Perhaps I should have warned you. Those of you who want to give, don't be too upset. I'll give you an opportunity to give just a little bit later, towards the end of the service. But this service is a little bit different to the way we normally do services. And if you're visiting, such a warm welcome. It's great having you here. Really trust that you're going to enjoy the time with us and continue to enjoy the time with us. But today we're going to give a little bit of feedback. One of the things we love doing as a church family is we love the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we love the privilege that we have of sharing it with anybody and everybody as far as the globe would stretch. And from Pretoria in the last couple of years, or the last couple of months rather, we've been privileged to send some teams, and we're going to give some feedback of some of the teams that we've recently sent. Just share a little bit of what happened in those teams, and then towards the end, we're going to share a little bit about where we're planning to send teams in the next couple of months. So, if you're visiting today, you can just sit back, grab some popcorn, and enjoy the service with us. And maybe perhaps I want to ask, if you don't yet, you're going to need this at the end of the service. If you haven't yet done this, if you could take out your smartphone, if you've got a smartphone. But if you've got a smartphone, if you could just take that out. And if you're on Android, just go to the Play Store. We're going to watch a video now, and while that's playing, just download a little application called Barcode Scanner. And if you're on an iPhone, look for QR Reader and just download those two very small little applications. They're like 500 kilobytes each, really, really small, install very quickly. And BlackBerry, you can just do it natively on your phone, so you don't need to download anything. So you can do that while we're watching this first video. And then, Feynman, you can push play on that. And while that's doing, if the Durban guys, if you guys could head to the front.
Okay, hi everyone. We lost our team. I don't know, half of the team is gone and one is sitting there. Yeah, see. I just want to share a quick testimony. So we were on the grass field and a tipsy young man came to us, actually Taryn, and asked if she had a lighter. And look at her, she doesn't look like a smoker anyhow. So we don't have a lighter. It's like, you are weird. What are you guys doing here? And yeah, like we are worshiping God, and we just started talking to him about God and what God has done in our lives, and we shared with him our hearts and our lives. And so he sat with us, and we just kept chatting to him. And at some stage, their friends came and was like, dude, let's go. What are you doing here? Let's go. Let's drink and party. And he's like, no, I'm not going to come. I need to stay here. No. Yeah, I can't come to you. I will meet you at the bar. I'm not going to come. I need to be here. So he stayed with us, and we just kept sharing with him. And at some stage, his tipsiness was gone, and because first we asked him, do you want to pray? He's like, no, I'm tipsy. I don't think I should pray to God while I'm tipsy. Oh, okay. And then his tipsiness was gone, so we asked him, yeah, dude, you don't look tipsy anymore, so do you want to pray? And he's like, yes. So we prayed with him. As we were praying, you could see how God was touching him. He was literally holding two hands like this, and shaking with the presence of the Lord. And then, and after this, we asked him if he wants to pray, and he said yes. He prayed, and he recommitted to his life to Christ again. It was so amazing. And out of that, I realized that there's someone out there somewhere who has a divine appointment with God. And God chooses to use us, you and me, in that divine appointment. So it's such a privilege. Yeah, just because it's like, as you are witnessing that God is touching someone's heart, God touches you, your heart, with his goodness and greatness. Yeah, it's all from me.
Hello, everyone. My name is Divan. So I led the Durban team last year, November, to Durban, obviously. And it consisted of a couple of things that we did. Firstly, we started off the weekend by facilitating Foundations 4. And for those of you that don't know, we've got an Encounter and Foundation series. And Foundation 4 is almost the final one in the series, but it focuses a lot on freeing people through God's power. And you basically spend the whole weekend worshiping and praying for people. And for me personally, that was an amazing moment where I really saw God's Holy Spirit move. I've been to a couple of Foundation 4s, I think to three of them. And this specific one was one of the most amazing ones where I really just saw God's Spirit move. I have some personal friends and stuff in Durban that they really, one of my friends, this oak struggled with anger so much that it used to consume him. He would actually get so angry, he would bite himself and punch himself. And it was crazy because this guy really loved the Lord, but he had this problem of abandonment and stuff from his past that he couldn't get a victory over this. And they've prayed for this guy so many times. And at this Foundation 4, we were just praying for him, and he just got this release. He just saw this image of a heart and with a scorpion sting in it, and God just removing that scorpion sting and just putting his hand over his heart, and the scorpion couldn't sting him no longer. And from that day, that man was a changed man. It was really such a powerful effort. And then you really realize, you know what, when the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our helper, he truly is our helper. You can preach the truth, but if the Holy Spirit isn't there to do the work, it is more useless. Yeah? Further on, three nights, we went to Belito. So Belito is a massive jewel plaque in Belito. Belito isn't very big, so it hasn't got sections, maybe a couple of streets. But mainly it's got a nice round one. And there's a bunch of clubs and stuff there. And what was really cool is we went the year before that as well. And when we went back this year, two of the clubs actually closed. So it's just cool. Just praying there and just bringing that presence of the Lord there changes stuff and shifts things in the natural. And I think there you can really just experience a lot of spiritual warfare. It's actually quite a very interesting thing to see how the Spirit works there and how you pray for people. And it's amazing to also just see the team dynamic of you get people that are generally stronger in the spiritual, where they pray for people, and you get people that are more evangelical, which they find it easy to speak to people and just connect with them. And we really trusted God for divine encounters. We said, in preparation for everything, we're not going to strive. We're not going to go up to everyone, try and speak to them, do you know Jesus, blah, 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 blah. No, we just decided, God knows we're here. We're going to trust that people, we're going to meet the right person at the right time. And every encounter that we had was such a profound encounter, such a place where God really met with a person, and it was like a check mark in someone's destiny. Unfortunately, we didn't take any photos of that, so that really sucked. We would have loved to show you that, but I think the person that had to take photos were far too excited and they forgot to take photos, which is what I really think happened. So it was a bunch of that. Then another thing which we did as well is we spent a lot of time going to strategic places in the city and actually praying there. And Clint is a pastor at Shofar Durban. They've got a whole map of places where every time a team comes, they're really awesome to play there, and it's strategic places where we really trust for breakthrough and for God just to come establish things. And I think that was also amazing, just seeing actually the effect that what your prayers has on the environment. You know, I think you just realize spiritual warfare to another level when you go and intercede at these places. And it's quite an interesting thing. So that's actually really cool to just see the power of what God can do, with the clubs, where they actually closed two of the clubs down via the previous year. And then also just building the church up there. You know, Shofar Durban is a very young church. I think they a bit over a year old now. And actually just fellowshipping with those people, spending time with them, living in their homes and building them up. We really got so much to offer. You might sit here and you think, you know what, I'm only a Christian for so long, and you know, what can I tell everyone? But what you have already learned, you can teach people. You know, and when you go there, you've got so much to impart. There's so many young believers there who never grew up in a church. who've been their whole life spent wasting on drugs and stuff like that. And there's just so much you can impart. And we also learned a lot from them, just the way they approach life and things like that. So, yeah, that was Durban 2013 for you.
Thanks, Stephen. What Stephen didn't say was the whole point of their going was it was matric rage. When all the whole bunch of matrics go down and have a party in the Mshlanga Belito area, and in the evenings they go out and spend time with the matrics and pray with the matrics. So kind of that was the whole point of why they went. But it's a while ago, and they've obviously forgotten. But anyway, thanks so much, guys. And we know at the end of this year it's going to be even better when we go back again and really trust God to reach even more of those matrics at the end of their party or at the end of your rage after the chick after party thing. If we could play the next video there, Reynard.
Hello, church in Pretoria. We are the church of Harawanda in Lesotho. May you always be blessed for the love and support you have shown us. We love and appreciate you. Thank you.
For the longest time, I believed a lie that I'm not a strong enough believer to be the friend that could take your hand and lead you straight to Jesus. I'm waiting on the preachers, singers, and the teachers to string the perfect words together. But every single time I have to say goodbye, I wonder, will this be the last time? I can't call myself your friend and walk away. When we love, we earn the right to speak the truth. When we speak truth, we show the world we truly love. I'm not pointing my finger, I'm holding out my hand. I lay it all on the line now to see God save my friend. Let my life and my words be the proof. I'm gonna love you with the truth.
Team coming up, or just the two of them?
Come. I promise we won't rap.
He lied. They're going to rap now.
Sure.
Christoph can start.
Yo, yeah, man. That's good, dog.
Okay. Sure. Being on missions, I think everyone will agree with me who's been on a mission that like, if you really, really want to see God moving in, like, different areas, and if you want to see God stretching and really imparting into your life, like, go on a mission. Like, it's really true. the most amazing thing for me on the mission was just like the team unity. We, in like the space of 2 weeks, went from being complete strangers to being like family. You had people jumping all over each other, and it was really, really amazing. And actually, another thing was the church there in Lesotho that we went to. Like, it was a really basic church, but for me, what really stuck out was like the electricity that flowed there every time they had like a service. Like, it was really just them and their God, and they'd just come there and just give. And just give their all to like God and stuff, and really didn't care that of anything else that was around them, and just really offered themselves to God. And for me, that really stuck out of how we tend to focus on everything else, and instead of like God who is there. And like during like the whole time there, God reminded me of how Christianity is really about a relationship with Him, and how like during the years it's progressed from being a relationship to going to be a religion, to being a philosophy, and sadly nowadays it's a form of entertainment, and how we should really go back to the basics of the faith of like a relationship between you and your God. And so.
Amen.
Kom, gee vir hande klap, daar's hy.
Okay, practically speaking, just what we went to go do there, the people that you're looking at here is actually, we two teams. We went, I think, 2 weeks before the December mission, or a month or something, I can't really remember. We took a small scouting team with, it consisted of 7 members, just to go see exactly what we plan to go and do for December, because we've partnered there with the church in Ramabantha, as you saw in the beginning of the video. But we didn't really know how to keep a team busy there for 2 weeks. So we went on a scouting mission for a weekend just to establish what we're going to do and how we can truly like assist the church. Then God showed us that we mustn't go there and teach and minister and make it a super spiritual mission. All we did is we went there and we went to go help out. So we took some building material with and some spades and picks. And we helped him to dig foundation for the church so that they can build another room for the pastor to stay there, because the pastor of the church stays in Maseru, and he travels through every Sunday, preaches at the church, and then he travels back to Maseru, which is like 2 hours drive with a car that he drives with, so which is quite hectic. So we just helped him to dig a foundation to build a house for the pastor that he can stay there. And we also put running water to the church that they can actually have drinking water there and also fill their pool for the baptisms, which was actually flipping cool. Like, I'm jumping ahead of the story now, but the baptism was cool for me because it's a very small church, and the Sunday baptism service, we baptized 22 people, which is unbelievably cool. Like, if you put it into a ratio according to our church, we would have to baptize like 100 people to get the equivalent of that. So the baptisms was really cool. And the ladies went to go weed with the plantations, which sounds fairly simple, but in the Lesotho sun, to pull bossies the whole day, it's not very simple. So the ladies worked very hard. And what was nice for me is we went to go show the Jesus film as well in the evenings, twice. And the first evening we prayed, we stood in a circle and we prayed just for protection and for covering, so that everybody who's watching the film can encounter Jesus and really meet him. Otherwise, it's pointless. If they don't meet Jesus, then there's no point in showing the film. So we prayed the whole 2 hours, which was nogal quite hectic because we started late and all of us were tired, and it was quite intimidating. But at the end, a lot of people responded on the altar call. The second evening that we went, I felt God saying, okay, we don't have to pray. We can just sit and relax, and then He will show us what He can do. So I was a bit confused at first, but I was like, okay. So I told the team members, let's sit down and have fun and watch the film. And at the end of that film, twice the amount of people that responded on the first one responded on this altar call. And they encountered God in such a powerful way. And God just came and showed us it's Him doing it, it's not us. So what I want to leave you guys with is two crucial things. Is one, if you feel you can't go on missions or you can't do anything, then that's sort of a good place to be at, because what the Bible teaches us, without Him we can do nothing. So you can't do it. But with God you can. We're more than conquerors. And another thing, if you feel you mustn't go on missions or you're not called to go on missions, if you plant it in this church, this is what this church does. We send people to the nations and to the generations. So buy into the church's vision and go on missions and go and yoke with Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, teams Lesotho. You guys can take a seat and try not to break anything down. Then we've got a next video of our team who went to Rwanda over December.
Okay, evening, church. I just want to share a quick testimony of a principle that I learned on missions. Before we went on the missions, I had a preconceived idea about what it was going to be like a Malawi mission, preaching and people getting saved and miracles happening. But it was different. Rwanda mission was tough for me. It was challenging because most of the stuff we did, and we couldn't see the results directly. So I was frustrated and was unfulfilled. And I wondered, then I went to God and I asked him, God, why am I so unfulfilled? Because you say in your word, if you do your will and teach people and stuff, we're going to be fulfilled. We're going to have true joy in our hearts. So he told me that I'm actually putting my trust in the results and in the blessings and everything that comes and everything that comes by preaching, like seeing people get healed, even that, and people giving their lives to Jesus. So I and he told me that you can't get your joy from that, even that. So I repented and just repented of everything of that. And so God gave me a new freedom, if I can say it like that, just to enjoy him and love him and his character and then just let the results over to him. Whatever happens, it's a new freedom because whatever then happens, it's okay because, you know, you're trusting God's heart and not what the result is. So I just want to encourage you, everybody's trusting God for something in their lives. But don't look at the results or find your joy in that. Just find your joy in his character and love him for who he is and delight yourself in that. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Quibus. Okay, so the purpose we went to Rwanda for was basically to go and support the church there. You saw in the video Bob. He was here at our church a few years ago. He came from Rwanda, studied here, and then he went back to plant a cell group there. So the main purpose for us was to go there. There's been many teams that have gone over the years there, I think for 5 years now, from Shofar, Joburg, and Pretoria. So we're basically supporting them there. So during these years, they've done all the foundations. So last year when we were supposed to go, we prayed about what we're supposed to do. And God gave us a few visions, which are really awesome testimonies on its own. I'll tell you about that now. But the main thing he said was to go do leadership development with them. So that was the main thing we went there for, to present the leadership training, which CS has on the DVDs from Stellenbosch. So that was our only thing we did. And the rest of the time, God stayed silent on, okay, what's the plan for the rest of the time we're going to be there? But, you know, I just want to tell this testimony. In the other times, every morning when we woke up, we just trusted God for, okay, what's on the plan for today? Because we really don't know. We need you to come through for us to show us what's your will in this. And one morning he said to us, okay, we're going out and we're going to go pray for the youth in the neighborhood. So we're like, okay, that wasn't really what we wanted to do. But again, like Weber said, it's not about what you want and it's not about the results. So God said, go out. So we were obedient. We went out. God gave us some words of knowledge about who we're going to speak to. So there were quite a few guys we met. And in the end, there were about 20 youths around the neighborhood. We were like, okay, well, we're not doing anything tomorrow morning, so can we come over to your place? And we're like, of course you can. That's why we're here. And then that evening, we did one of the leadership training DVDs ourselves. And Sias was like, okay, so in this session, we're going to watch the movie Amazing Grace. So we're like, oh, hectic. So we're in Rwanda. Where are we going to get a DVD shop? There's no Amazing Grace DVD around here. And then Hort is like, okay, but just wait a second. Like, I went to Kumbuks just before we came, like an emergency, went to go buy some French Bibles. And
like this DVD was on special, so I quickly grabbed it for $30 and it's in my bag. And I'm like, what? So that was just so amazing for us to see that, you know, God provides for you. Like, He really provides for you. You don't need to even plan it. You just trust Him. So, because then we watched that DVD, and that next morning when the children came, we had like the most amazing session where we watched Amazing Grace with them, and they understood it. We like had small groups with them, went through salvation, went through what is baptism, what is the Holy Spirit, and it was so fruitful. And that was something that God just came to really, you know, throw your program off. Like, you plan your ways, but the Lord really directs your steps. So I just really want to encourage you guys. Rwanda has a big need for support. There's different types of missions. You know, we all have our preconceived ideas of missions. Like Kobus also said, I also like going out, having crusades every night, getting people saved, getting them baptized. But if you're not in God's will, then even doing that is not what God wants for you at that time. So that just exposed my heart so much to what missions really means. So I'd like to encourage you guys that really go on missions and have an open heart for what God wants to do. Don't just listen to the amazing testimonies and think God is going to duplicate that. Or you listen to your friend's testimony and you think, okay, I really want to experience that because that's what missions is about. It's not that narrow-minded. I really want to encourage you that go on missions. Like the Great Commission says, we go out. And like Christoph also shared, that is sort of like, for me, that's the default. We as Shofar have been mandated to go out. So don't feel like, okay, I need to figure this out, or I need to be sorted out, or I need to pray like for months. The standard is to go, and like if you shouldn't go, then you ask God why you shouldn't go. So that's just what I want to share in Rwanda. And you really need to meet Bob. He's a great character. And I got some feedback from him today. Since we've been there, the church or the cell group that's about 10 have grown by 2 members who are really committed, so praise God for that. And yeah, they're going to plant a church from that small group. So those are 10 people, 12 now, who are strategically placed with, like God gave us visions for different ministries for them. So we really need to send teams to encourage them to actually plant the church. So I really want to encourage you, if you have it on your heart. Andre is also going to lead a team, especially with families later this year. But even after that, please go again and encourage them to plant the church and to not be afraid, to be bold in what God is calling them to do. Thanks.
Now we sent a team just a couple of weeks ago to Barclay East and to go and support a youth ministry there, or a youth conference of one of the churches that we partner with. Fantastic church. And Timmy comes from that church. He grew up there, if I'm not mistaken, up in the hills where always 45 degrees Celsius or not. It's the coldest I've been in my life has been in Barclay East. Our windscreen had frozen over overnight, and the next morning when we woke up, we put the car's little sprayer thingy on to spray against, and as the little spray thingy hit the windscreen, it just froze on the windscreen again, so we realized that was pointless. But I'm going to ask one of the team members, who was it again, Klamulo, to come forth, and she's going to share just a little bit of what being on the team meant to her and the other team members who wanted to come and give moral support. You're welcome.
Hi guys, I just want to share my personal testimony with regards to Barclay. Well, 2 things for me stood out. First thing was just the unity that God just really just birthed from this team. Like within a span of 3 days, it felt like we were just family. And I remember just God just revealing to me just the story of the Tower of Babel, and God just said that's what it's all about. You know, the fact that there was unity and He enabled us to go build what He had called us to build in Barclay that weekend. And God really just showed up, and that was what actually truly stood out. There were about 600 plus kids there, and it was just so amazing to just see the freedom that God was just stirring up in most of them. And regardless of the backgrounds that most of them come from, they were all just there, just worshiping God. And 100 plus of them came to salvation, and for me, that was like the highlight, because I believe that's what it's all about. And it was just so incredible. And I remember the Saturday evening, the word that was shared was about the Father heart of God. And at the end, an altar call was called, and all the kids without fathers or who do not have a relationship with their fathers were just called out if they need prayer. And the amount of kids that stood out, it really just broke my heart. And God just really just revealed to me that that's an area that the enemy has just been stealing from. But God just came and he really just showed up, and like forgiveness was just flowing there. And God just came and he restored and he renewed. And it was just so incredible. Like even the worship thereafter was just a declaration of just God's power and his presence. Like God really showed up, and that's what stood out about Barclay. And a personal testimony, that Saturday evening as I was about to pray for this one girl, I remember her just being so overwhelmed, and she ended up going to the floor. And I remember just God saying to me, kneel down and pray with her. But the thing is that I had knee surgery last year, in September, and I wasn't yet able to kneel or bend. And I remember just God saying, kneel down, pray with her. And at that point, I chose, die to self, God, you act. And I remember just going down on my knees, no pain whatsoever. Until then, I've been able to bend and kneel. And it was just so amazing. God just really just revealed to me that if we are willing to die to ourselves and die to our own problems, and we seek to really just tend for other people's needs, he will tend to us. So really, that's what missions are about. So let's die to self and let Christ arise and, yeah, build his nation. Amen. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we really had an amazing time in Barclay. If I can just quickly share a little bit of a testimony there. I was praying for one of the girls. She's crying, and she just hates herself in that moment. It's just like everyone is just speaking so negative about her, saying things to her, and it's like the world is all against her. She felt so worthless. And as I just prayed there for her right in that moment, and even while she was coming into the camp, and there was the girl just saying things over her, and I prayed for her right after I prayed for her, and then this other girl comes and is like crying and weeping, and is like, I need to make right with this girl. Can you please help me? I need to apologize to her. And as I just come and just reconcile them, and they just start, the both just start crying, and God just comes and just bring lots of healing and lots of joy. And that was like really, really cool for me. Barclay is a small town, and it's a really, really amazing place. It is cold in winter, but if you are thinking of going there, I'd really, really like to encourage you to do go. There are like 21 of us, right? 21, and like imagine plus 600 and something kids, like divided into 21 people. Like in your one person, there are probably like 13 kids lining up for you. You need to pray for them and everything. So we're still a very small team. Ignite, the whole thing is really getting bigger than the church. And mainly the people that you see on stage ministering and doing everything, praise and worship, is the people that do 70% of the work. So they really, really have a need for people to just go there and help out in any way. So if you really, really have a passion for students and want to go and help out in any way, it would really be cool if you just join us in the Barclay Mission. And the team has asked me, you guys, to just say, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks to me. And then we've got one last video clip to show you guys this evening.
Great stuff. If Warren, is it just Warren?
I don't know. Unless Collie wants to join me. Seems like our team's kind of absent. Oh. Okay, anyway. So, okay, so we're part of the Nepal team. Yeah, so we're part of the Nepal team.
In the corner.
They seem so unprepared. Anyway.
It's a Nepalese thing. The ladies have to be in the side.
Yeah, yeah. There's always a division of sex there. So, anyway, so we are the Nepal team. We had an immense privilege of just going over there and sharing the gospel with the people. For everyone who doesn't know, you've got India and you've got China, and right in between there is Nepal. And it's usually a country that's known for its incredible beauty with the Himalayan mountains. You saw one of the pictures in the slide there. And it was just such an incredible privilege to be able to go over there to a country which all the tourists only go there for one reason, is to go there for the beauty of their country, yet have no real concern for the people. So for us, it was an incredible privilege to go to the areas where not many of the tourists usually go. And we had three conferences there. One we held for pastors, another one for ladies, and another conference for the youth. And over there, we just sort of shared a little bit about God's heart and what, you know, we just sort of imparted to them, helped them disciple the people. And we worked hand in hand with Pastor Ma. He's one of the people there. He's just got an incredible ministry. What he does is he takes 12 people for 3 months and he disciples them, teaches them everything he knows about God, goes through our Bible school material with them. And after 3 months, he just releases them and allows them to go and plant churches. And yeah, so it was an incredible privilege just being able to work with them. And he's just has such an incredible heart for God. And I just want to quickly share a couple testimonies that just stood out for me while I was there. And one being was while we had the women's conference, the men weren't allowed, just like Awaken, I know, right? But the men were like, we were praying for them, and then eventually we decided, okay, well, while they're having a conference, let's go and do some evangelism. So we get to a little, they've always got these huts, and they position like a square, so they have their own little isolated community. So that's sort of where the family grows up, and the family always does things together there. So we went and we said hello, and they've got an incredible welcoming culture there. So they just welcome us in, give us cool drinks. So we sit down, and Pastor Mars busy chatting to to the family there, and myself, Corbus, and Christy, we're just sitting there, and Pastor Mars speaking to the guy in Nepalese, and we're feeling kind of useless. Not really much we can do there. They're busy speaking Nepalese, so we're just praying a little bit, you know, the tongues, hoping we'll have some sort of positive effect there. And I just got so frustrated. I was like, God, I feel like there's something you want me to give these people, like there's something you want me to say to them, but I have no idea how to say it to them. I have no idea how to get this communicated, because Pastor Mar, he's brilliant. He knows so much about God. We don't really need to add much to what he was saying. And I still had this pressing feeling that I was supposed to say something. So it's just like, okay, God, you say we'll lack nothing. Just come through. And immediately at that moment, I could understand their whole conversation. Could understand every bit of Nepalese that they're speaking about. The guy was telling about his life, and I'm just sitting there. I'm hearing Nepalese, but I'm thinking in English. I'm like, this is crazy. So I repeat back to him what he just said. He's like, yeah, yeah, that's exactly what I said. So I'm like a little bit shocked. And then Pastor Mo looks at me. He's like, no way, you speak Nepalese. No, I don't. Anyway, so it was really cool. And from that moment, I realized there were some things that he was saying that I could really relate to. So I testified a bit about my testimony. He said some more things, chatted back to him, and then it felt like I'd said what I needed to. I couldn't understand them anymore, which was really cool. And another moment that stood out for me was just they're really hungry for the gospel. You know, in our culture, we go to someone and we say, can we pray for you? And they're like, no, I believe in Jesus. Don't worry. Like, every night, I'm on my knees. I'm praying. And I'm just like, no, but I see you're limping. Can we pray for you? And mostly in our culture, we don't want to, you know, seem as if there's something wrong with us. Or, you know, maybe we've got a bit of a defect or something like that. And there, we just tell them, well, we serve a faithful God and he is our healer. And they're like, really? Awesome. Pray for me. So it's they're so hungry to see God move in their hearts. And we shared a little bit about the Holy Spirit and the giftings that come with the Holy Spirit. And after sharing a little bit with them, then we just decided, well, we just felt like we needed to pray with them, or for healing. So everyone who was sick just raised their hands, and almost everyone raised their hands, because they all, doesn't matter if they just got a little bit of a headache, they want you to pray with them, which is really cool. And while we're going from person to person, then Corbus and I were sitting with, like, we just felt like we needed to go pray for the one lady, and she walks like this, because her one leg is about that much shorter than the other. And that's caused some hip pains and caught some pain in her knees and all the rest. So she was really not really happy with the way her legs were short. Well, one leg was shorter than the other. So we just sit her down, made her sit her back and stretch her legs out. So, so she's sitting with her legs out and just felt Quibus needs to hold her feet. And so start praying with her and praying. And then Quibus starts laughing. I'm like, yes, Quibus, this is so disrespectful. And I'm like, but why is he laughing? So I open my eyes and he's holding her feet and his hands are literally doing this. So right there in front of our eyes, her leg grew to be the same length as the other one, which was really cool. And then she's still a bit of pain, so we prayed for the pain, and then the pain was gone, and then she could walk normally. So it's just really the power of the God that we serve. He really has the power to just heal people supernaturally. But for me, above all that, besides all the hectic miracles, was just seeing the people come to salvation, because that's really got to be the biggest miracle ever. Just being able to see a person start that relationship with their creator, with the God of the universe, and to love them. Sometimes we're so hungry to see miracles, but we just got there with one thing in mind: share the gospel, show them Jesus, and love them. And, you know, everywhere we went, God just pitched up and moved in powerful ways. So it was such an awesome privilege and honor being used by God to reach the people in Nepal.
Thanks, Warren. Did one of you two ladies want to say something? Apparently not. Christy would have obviously loved to be here and share a little bit about Nepal as well. And he was going to speak this evening, but we had a small scheduling problem in Bloemfontein. So kind of we said, well, we're close. It's around the corner. Christy will just drive through quickly and do the service there. So Christy had to shoot across to Bloemfontein and said, oh, Philip, by the way, you here on Sunday night? So I said, oh, okay, fine. So much for an off weekend. But it's just so great just being able to share just something of what I believe would be God's heart for all of us. You remember last week I started a brief series. I started a series on finding and growing in your calling. Last week we spoke a little bit about what is this calling thing. And then kind of as I looked at our program, and we put this weekend out a while ago because we need to start planning towards the missions going forward and all of that. And I thought, well, it's a bit of an interruption in the series that I was thinking I was doing. And then I realized kind of as I was planning for this evening, it's not an interruption at all. Someone said it earlier. This is exactly what we've been called. If there's one thing that all of us have been called for, and we look at this just now, it's to God and to carry the good news of Christ wherever we go. And I think that watch is wrong because it says it's 5 to 5, which means I've still got an hour left. I doubt that's quite right. I think maybe the battery is dead or someone's playing a funny joke on the rest of us. But a couple of weeks ago, I read a little bit of the story of Abraham. Does anyone remember we spoke about Abraham and how God came to Abraham, took him outside and said, Abraham, look up. And Abraham looked up and God showed him just a glimpse of the promise that God had for him, for his kids, for nations, for Abraham to be the father's we have today of many nations, not only many nations, but every nation we understand derives from Abram. And in Genesis 22, verse 15, the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus himself, called to Abram a second time out of heaven. He said, by myself I've sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of your enemies. And verse 18, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. We spoke about a couple of weeks ago the fact that you and I, Scripture says, all of us are sons of Abraham and are inheritors of the promise of Abraham. What is the promise of Abraham? That in his seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. That because of him, the whole world is going to be blessed. And I really believe that's a promise that God wants to give all of us as believers. On Friday, on Monday evening, at First Monday Prayer, we took a bit of time and we prayed for the 200 or so people who visited our church this year and filled in visitors' cards. We prayed for them each by name. And as we were praying for them, I just felt God saying that every one of them, those little cards that we were holding in our hands, represented a couple of things. First of all, they represented God's heart for that individual whose name was on the card. God's heart for that individual, that God wants relationship with that individual, that God wants to grow with that individual, that God wants that individual to become a disciple and to walk in all the fullness that God would have for that individual. But in the same way, I also felt God saying that all of those cards represent God's heart for us as a church. That He wants us to be the church, or a church who is discipling those individuals. That He's sending them to us because He trusts us with them. He's sending them to us because He's given us something to give to them. I want to say to you this evening that if you have a relationship with Christ, you have an immense amount to give. Turn to the person next to them, next to you. Look them in the eye and say, "You church planter." You go, God comes to Gideon, knocks on Gideon's shoulder, taps Gideon on his shoulder. He says, "Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor." Gideon is wrong, Gideon. Some of you maybe right now have that same reaction. "No, Philip, wrong person." No, no, turn to the other side. This side is not a church planter. That side is a church planter. I want to hold before you that I believe God's called every single one of us to be about what Jesus is about. You know what Jesus is about? I will build my church. Missions is a bit of an interesting term, and it's a word we use. There's probably nothing wrong with it, but it's important that we remind ourselves from time to time that the word mission doesn't occur anywhere in your Bible. It's not a biblical term. It's a term that we've sort of brought into our culture to symbolize the idea of us going with the gospel. But it's not a biblical term. What is a biblical term is church. What is a biblical term is Paul traveling through the upper regions, Paul going through Asia, all over the place, Peter going, and what are they doing? They're planting churches and they're appointing elders. They're seeing churches raised up and people discipled and transformed. And that's why it's so important to us that in all of these missions that we do, that we partner with local churches who are committed to discipling nations. Equipping them, partnering with them, providing the tools that we have available. We provide those tools to them and say, if there's any way you can use this to disciple your people, then please use it. And when we're coming alongside you, we want to help you to do what you're already doing because you're doing amazing work wherever you are. And why are you doing amazing work? Because you're doing the work. And that's amazing. One of the things that I find often, and I try and say often, because sometimes we think, I don't have a bunch to give. And those of you who've traveled with us a little bit, you'll know that most of you sitting here, you are more equipped to pastor a church than the vast majority of pastors pastoring churches today. I want to say that again. As you sit here today, you are more equipped to pastor a church than the vast majority of pastors who are pastoring churches today. The vast majority of churches today are not found in the developed world, they're found in the developing world. And the vast majority of those pastors, do you know all they have? Is a revelation of Christ and the willingness to be obedient. In terms of training, they don't have any. We go and as far as possible, we train and equip and just strengthen their hands to do the work they're doing. And I always knew that to be a truth just because of how many pastors I've met, and they've got amazing hearts. They do phenomenal work. Just wish sometimes we could bring some of them here for 2 or 3 months and impart into their lives and send them back. Just not practically possible. So what we do instead is we go there and impart into their lives. And as much as I knew this, 2 or 3 weeks ago we were in Houston. Posted on Facebook, I'm going to be in Houston. An old friend of mine from Stellenbosch sent a message, "Hey, I'm going to be in Houston too. Should meet up for lunch." I said, "That's a great idea." And the morning we went to one of the coolest churches on the planet. And then we went to their church, which is also a cool church. And the whole weekend she was saying, "Hey, come with me to church." I said, "Yeah, I will come." Anyway, we're getting up, going to their church. So the morning service, the 8:30 service, we're at Lakewood. It's a 20,000-seater church. It's pretty crazy. Israel Houghton is the worship leader. You know, you can spend a bit of time in that church. It's a nice temporary facility until you can build a permanent church. You can use their building. go look up on internet. Just Google Lakewood Church. Look at a picture. It's a nice thought for a church. And then we went to Cornelius' church. And Antoinette, her husband, picked us up from Lakewood, and he took us to their congregation. And Kalisha was always, you know, great member in church, involved, went on missions, but never somebody who, when we'd looked at it, saying, this is an obvious ministry candidate. This is obviously a lady who God's going to use in ministry. And as we go, so Antoinette takes us, I said, no, let's not sit in the front. He says, no, we have to sit in the front. So we sit in the front, and after worship, their pastor gets up, their senior pastor, quite a large church, and he says, listen, can we just have all the pastors in church stand up? Because we just want the congregation to honor our pastors. And here, next to us, they get up. And I look at Antoinette, he looks at me and says, not me, it's her. You know how amazed I was? That we had an ordinary girl going through our ordinary, well, Kulain knows her pretty well, I think, as well, Kurlisha Barnos, used to be Bhutan. You know, she's a women's pastor of a large church in the middle of the Bible Belt in the United States. She says she sits in a meeting afterwards in a high corner. I said, now we're going to talk about this. She says, it's a little bit awkward in meetings because there the standard is you have to have a theological degree from one of the many theological seminaries in the area. This is the Bible Belt. Everyone goes to church. It's really easy to grow a church there because everyone goes to church. She sits in the staff meetings and stuff, and it's a little bit awkward because she's the only one who doesn't have any theological training. Except in the meetings, no one seems fazed by it because she really has a relationship with God and she's been discipled and trained and she's got so much value to add. You know where she picked all of that up? Just by doing what all of you are doing now. She goes, she's been there for a couple of months. They recognize there's something in this girl's life. I was incredibly encouraged. She said to me, we may be doing a whole bunch of stuff wrong, but if that's the fruit of what we're doing something right. That there's something that God's building into you as you sit here that you've got no clue what it is. You know what she says to me as we're having lunch? She says, do you know what? I didn't notice. She says in her words, I didn't know what I had until I left. Do you know what she wants to do now? I said, I'll buy your plane ticket for you to come over to do that. She says, she just wishes she can go back to the people at Shofar and just say, you don't know what you've got in this church. Use it. Use every bit of it. Because when you leave from here, and almost all of us are going to leave from here at some stage, God's going to use you in ways that go beyond your wildest dreams. God wants all the nations of the earth to be blessed because of us. Not because we're special. God didn't choose Abram because Abram was special. God chose Abram, and that made Abraham special. God didn't choose us because we're special. God chose us along with a whole bunch of other people. But the fact that he chose us, that's what makes us special. Romans 10 verse 13, just before this, says that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:14 then says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? See, there's something that God wants us to understand about his heart, that he wants everyone to know and to believe, but the reality is, what are they going to believe in if they've never heard? What are they going to believe in if we're not going? One of the worst questions we can ask is, what's going to happen if I go? That's a really bad question to ask. Can I tell you the right question to ask? What's going to happen to them if I don't go? What's going to happen to the people in Nepal or in Lesotho, the people in Rwanda or in Durban, the people across the road, the people who go to class and work with me? What's going to happen to their lives if I don't go to them carrying the gospel of Christ? They're going to carry on living their dead, mundane lives, marriages, families falling apart just day after day after day. Or I can come and I can bring them life and hope in Jesus. How are they going to believe if they don't hear? And how are they going to hear if we don't preach? And then Matthew 28, passage we all hopefully know really well. Jesus came, spoke to them, to all of his disciples. Includes you, it includes me. And he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore. Go therefore. Do you know what our response should be? If Jesus says, go therefore, let's go. Go therefore. Simple response, let's go. What are we doing when we're going? Go and make disciples of all the nations. How do you make disciples? You teach them to observe everything that I've commanded you. You baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then the addendum, which is not on that slide, and lo, I'm with you always. You want to be incredibly sure about the one thing in your life that God's always going to be with you is when you're going. So what's my challenge to us this evening? On this next slide, what do we need to do? You and I, as we sit here, we're going to be sending a couple of teams over the next couple of months. This is just the first half of the year's teams. We've already sent the Barclay team, and then the second half of the year we'll share a little bit later. But we're going to be sending teams to Lesotho, to Bloemfontein. That Bloemfontein week will probably be in the April varsity holiday because they don't have varsity holiday there when we've got a holiday here. So that first week of holiday when the varsity is closed here, just before the Easter weekend, somewhere around there, then we're going to probably be sending a team because they're not going to be on holiday, so it's just a fantastic overlap. Then teams to Malawi. We've got a great, great relationship with Pastor Henry there. How many churches have they planted, Kulane? Roughly. They've planted about 28, almost 30 churches in Malawi and in Mozambique over the years and becoming the process of becoming fully-fledged Shofar churches, so we're going to be supporting them. Then Tinus is excited about going to Splashy Fen. I've got no clue what that is, but apparently they need the gospel. Then sending teams to Zimbabwe, to Nepal again, and to Mozambique. So the question that I want you to go home to do right now is just to simply ask, saying, God, where do you want me to go? Just like, God, you said go. He's already said that. I read that to you just now. He didn't say stay therefore until I say go. He said go therefore. So what's the first thing? Just on the next slide. I think it's the next slide. If you're saying like Isaiah, here, God looks around. He says, who should I send? Isaiah puts up his hand. He says, here I am, God. Send me. Today you want to say, Jesus, here I am, send me. What do I do? Well, the first thing you do is you start praying. I want to encourage you to start praying for yourself that God would turn something in your heart. Because when I got saved, God needed to turn something in my heart about missions. I'm so glad he did. And then start praying. You heard of Pastor Gavin. He's the pastor in Barclay East. They've got some of you guys may have missed it. They've got 600 kids. That's high school age kids that come together for a weekend for a conference about Jesus in the middle of nowhere. They don't even have tar roads in Barclay East. And I'm not joking if I say that. But they have 600 kids coming together for a youth weekend to hear the gospel. Pray for pastors like that. Pray for Pastor Henry. Pray for the church in Nepal. Pray for Bob in Rwanda. Pray wherever God would lead you to be praying for people ministering the gospel where we can't get to. First thing, start praying for ourselves and then start praying for the people we're going to be going to. The second one is, and I'm going quickly because our time is a little bit short this evening, but start preparing yourself. How do you prepare yourself? Well, the first one is make sure you're involved in a small group. Make sure you're there where people can speak into your life, where you can grow. The vast majority of growth that I've ever seen and the vast majority of growth that I've ever seen in the people around me's lives, it's all happened in a small group environment. There where we can relationally challenge, impart, encourage one another. If you're not in a small group, make sure you get involved in the small group. There's a table outside where we'll be able to give you information. Do Bible school. I know many of you are already doing Bible school. If you somehow missed a year or you're unable to be here on Tuesday evenings, get the correspondence pack. Someone mentioned that earlier. We present that Bible school. The guys in Nepal use our content. They presented, no, we've got over 50 Bible schools going already across the world. Is God just breathing on that product? A lot of it is done through the correspondence package. Get the Bible school. The encounters, encounter one, life encounter, and the home encounter. You can speak to your small group leader about Foundation 3, Foundation 4, Divan Shedaran. Get there, be there. Some people ask, why is it so important for us to have people do that? You know why it's important? And please don't miss my heart in this. It's not so important for you being there as much as it's important for you being there for the people that you're going to minister to. I love you and I want you there for you. But I also want you there because God's going to do something in your heart, teach you something, equip you with something, so that when you go, whether it is to Houston, Texas, and become a pastor of a church there, whether it's to Rwanda, whether it's to Durban, whether you move to Witbank, wherever it is that you're going to go into work, that you've experienced something that you can give. The Walking with Jesus book, if you haven't done that yet, I encourage you at the table in front, get that. It's a 40-day discipleship journey. Work through it. Ask somebody in a small group to pray with you together about it once a week if you haven't done that yet. And specifically about the foundation seminars, Foundation 5, we call it the Share Seminar. Why? Because it's all about equipping you to share what God's done in your life. You can schedule that already. The 24th of May, we're going to be presenting the Share Seminar again for those who haven't done it yet. Pencil it and put it in your diaries. I'm going to just help you practically. How do I share that which God has given me? The third point, start serving somewhere. In church. Why? Because we need to serve. Yes, we'd love for you to serve here. We've got a whole bunch of people working really hard. And if you come and help, we just enable us to reach more people. But you know what also happens when you begin to serve somewhere? You get something you can give. One of the biggest challenges that we may have is if you today were to go on a mission and we're going to have a conference, a pastor's conference. I mean, this team that was up here just earlier from Nepal, just a bunch of, for us, regular churchgoers. Do you know what they presented? I don't know if you missed that. They presented a pastor's conference for pastors in Nepal. And you know what? Those Nepalese people come because they're hungry for the word. What are you going to give? What have you learned to give? Have you? It's one thing picking up notes that are just a bunch of theory and sharing. It's something else saying, I've been serving in our hospitality team and we found this worked. I serve behind the sound desk. I know how a sound desk operates. Can I teach and train you guys a little bit of what I've learned? You're probably going to learn a bunch of stuff on that side as well, but you'll be able to give something. I've served in this area of ministry. I've learned to do it really well. And you know what that means? Now I can teach you to do it as well. Let's prepare ourselves. Let's get ready to keep going. This is an important one, and some of you have missed that, but get a passport. It's really great saying, Jesus, send me to the nations. But I don't have a passport, so God can't send you to the nations. Or he can, but the chances you'll stay in that nation, you'll never come back. And if you're comfortable with that, then it's fine. Try the no passport route. But a passport route is the best route. So if you don't have a passport, how many of you don't have a passport yet? By show of hands. That's really cool. Louis Giglio did this a couple of years ago. He actually did a whole sermon called Passport. And you know at the end what he did? He did an altar call. And what the altar call was, if you don't have a passport yet, on the door on the way out, you can fill in a form and you can apply for your passport. You know the sad thing is about 80 or 9% of the people put up their hand because they didn't have a passport. He needed to do that there. But if you don't have a passport, get a passport. Start saving. Missions cost a bunch of money. But don't worry about that. God will provide. He will. He always does. See, Sunet, who's just been to Nepal. How much did that cost you guys? 12,000. See her nodding her head when I said, God will provide. I saw her nod because he obviously did for her. It's expensive, but God provides. But we need to be diligent about just planning around that and saving, maybe getting a part-time job or whatever. Start saving towards missions. And then, just on that point, so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to ask the ushers, someone now, to pass the offering bags around. Some of you don't realize this, but the vast majority of teams that we send from this congregation are subsidized, significantly so, out of money that you give on Sundays through tithes and offerings. If you want to give this evening, I can't give you a guarantee that every cent of it is going to go to missions. But I can give you a guarantee that whatever you give tonight, a whole bunch more than that, we're going to donate and give to missions. We set money aside every month for the cause of missions, for the cause of sending teams across, supporting them. Sunet and them ended up paying 12,000 rand for Nepal. The actual cost was quite a bit more because we helped subsidize them. And we want to do that. We want to continue to do that. And we want to ask you guys to partner with us to continue to do that. And as you give liberally, know that part of where your money goes when you do give is to supporting this, supporting what we're about. And then the last point is, if you can take out your cell phones again, open up barcode scanner, QR code scanner, whatever it is that you open up. If you've got a BlackBerry, you need to go to BBM, to your BlackBerry Messenger, and then you need to go there, scan, to setting, menu, something. There's something about scanning a code, scanning a group code. You guys would know where that is. Scan a group code on your BlackBerry Messenger, and then quickly scan that image on the screen. To take you to a little, Christoph promised me this would work. Is it working? You might have to click once it's open browser, and then there's a form there, which as you go out, you can fill in that form for us. We'll leave it on, so if you need to come forward as the rest go out, you're welcome to do that. Let's pray. And we need to get out of here because the next service starts in like 3 minutes. So Father, just while you're seated, Father, I want to thank you for this incredibly gifted, anointed, sanctified, called group of church planters, Lord, that you've placed before us this evening. Thank you, God, that in every one of their hearts, Lord, you've placed a desire to do your will, to see your kingdom come amongst the nations, not only here in Pretoria, but wherever you would lead these feet. Lord, we want to have beautiful feet. We know your word says that the feet of those who bring glad tidings, they're blessed and they're beautiful. God, we present our feet before you and ask that you would breathe life over our feet, Lord. And God, that you would send us wherever your spirit would lead us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that souls may be saved, discipled, baptized, and grow in the knowledge of the truth, Lord. We commit this to you, and we pray, God, that you would lead and direct this program specifically for Christu, Lord, as he oversees all of the teams. We just speak your favor and blessing over him and every team leader, every individual, even tonight, is wanting their hearts to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Whatever the obstacles, God, that you would give us the grace to overcome those obstacles, Lord. That truly more than anything else, Lord, your gospel, your kingdom come, Lord, would be the cry of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. If you have a prayer request, if there's anything in your heart that you need someone to pray with you, come forward. We'd love to pray with you, specifically if you're here, you're not in relationship with Jesus yet. Otherwise, if you need to go, you're welcome to go. Have an incredible week. If you're visiting, there's coffee and tea outside. Have some coffee and tea. Love to get to know you guys a little bit better. Amen. God bless you all.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. I